Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar and today Maseches Nedarim Daf Nun Zayin, the seventh parak Hanodim in Yorik. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, one who says Konum Peres Ha'il Olai Konum Hen Al Pi Konum Hen Lafi. One who says Konum these fruit on me, or these are Konum upon my mouth, or these are Konum to my mouth. Aser b'chilufen u'begidulehen. He is forbidden even in their exchanges, meaning goods received in exchange for them, and in their groves, meaning that which grows from them. The Ron explains that by specifying an object, it's like hektish, and therefore shares these two properties of hektish. The mission continues, Shani ocho, shani toem, mutter b'chilufen u'begidulehen. If he vowed fruit are konum for my eating or for my tasting, he is permitted in their exchanges and gross. Their exchanges and gross are not a violation of his neder since he is not eating or tasting the original forbidden fruit. Finally, these halachas are qualified. B'davrish zaro kala. This is only in an item whose seed decomposes. Avo b'davrish ein zaro kala, afil gedula gedulin asurin. But an item whose seed does not decompose, even the groves of its groves are forbidden. The Ron explains that even in the first case of the Mishnah, its first groves are only forbidden because they are similar to exchanges, meaning the original seed was exchanged for its subsequent plant. But what grows from them is not, because secondary exchanges are permitted. In contrast, an item whose seed does not decompose forbids even secondary growth because some amount of the original forbidden item remains. Point number two, the Gemara presents a question, Batzel Shakar B'Shvi'is, an onion that was picked during Shemitah, giving it Shemitah sanctity. But not to B'Shminis, V'Rabo Giduv Al Yikaro, and he then replanted it during the eighth year, and its new growths exceeded its original root. What is the halacha? In this context, exceeded means by an amount sufficient to nullify the original root, meaning 60 to 1. The inquiry is defined, Kaven the Rabu Gedul of Mi'ikaro, do we say, since the growths exceeded the root, Osen Gedul Heter, Malinas Iser, or lo? Those permitted growths nullify the forbidden root and the entire plant is permitted or not. Rather, the growths are themselves forbidden as an extension of the forbidden root. The Ron explains that the question is about whether the new growths are permitted or are forbidden as extensions. The nullification of the original root is a secondary result. And point number three, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafka attempted to resolve the question from a statement said in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Batzel shenata v'rabo gidua al yikaro mutter. If an onion of truma was planted and its growths exceeded the root, which in truma would require a ratio of 100 to 1, it is mutter, and the entire onion loses its truma status, although it is original tevel and would require tithing. He was challenged that there are two amoraim who forbid this. Rabbi Yochanan said that a young tree with fruit, which was forbidden as orla, which was grafted onto an old, permitted tree, even if the fruit grow 200-fold, the requisite amount for orla nullification, they remain forbidden despite the fact that the young tree is considered part of the old tree, and its new growths would be permitted if not that they grew from forbidden fruit. Rabbi Yonason said about an onion planted in a vineyard, which is forbidden as kalaim, even after the vineyard was uprooted and the onion grew 200-fold, the onion remains forbidden. Both Amoraim held that the new growth does not nullify the old root, rather the growth itself is forbidden as an extension. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, one who says, Konum Perus Ha'eu Olai, Konen Hen Al Pi, Konen Hen Lafi, Konen these fruit on me, or these are Konum upon my mouth, or these are Konum to my mouth, Aser b'chilufen u'begiduehen. He is forbidden even in their exchanges, meaning goods received in exchange for them, and in their growths, meaning that which grows from them. The Ron explains that by specifying an object, it's like hektish, and therefore shares these two properties of hektish. The mission continues, Shani ocho, shani toem, mutter b'chilufen u'begiduehen. If he vowed fruit are konum for my eating or for my tasting, he is permitted in their exchanges and growths. Their exchanges and growths are not a violation of his neder since he is not eating or tasting the original forbidden fruit. Finally, these halachas are qualified. B'davrish zaro kala. This is only in an item whose seed decomposes. Avo b'davrish ein zaro kala, afil gedula gedulin asurin. But an item whose seed does not decompose, even the growths of its growths are forbidden. The Ron explains that even in the first case of the Mishnah, its first growths are only forbidden because they are similar to exchanges, meaning the original seed was exchanged for its subsequent plant. But what grows from them is not, because secondary exchanges are permitted. In contrast, an item whose seed does not decompose forbids even secondary growths because some amount of the original forbidden item remains. Point number two, the Gemara presents a question, Batzel Shakar B'Shvi'is, an onion that was picked during Shemitah, giving it Shemitah sanctity. But not to B'Shminis, V'Rabo Giduv Al Yikaro, and he then replanted it during the eighth year, and its new growths exceeded its original root. What is the halacha? In this context, exceeded means by an amount sufficient to nullify the original root, meaning 60 to 1. The inquiry is defined. Kevin the Rabbi Gedula of Meikaro, do we say, since the groves exceeded the root, Osen Gedula Heter, Malinese Isser, or lo, those permitted groves nullify their forbidden root and the entire plant is permitted or not? Rather, the groves are themselves forbidden as an extension of the forbidden root. The Run explains that the questions about whether the new growths are permitted or are forbidden as extensions, the nullification of the original root, is a secondary result. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafka attempted to resolve the question from a statement said in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Batzel shenata v'rabo gidua al yikaro mutter. If an onion of truma was planted and its growths exceeded the root, which in truma would require a ratio of 100 to 1, it is mutter and the entire onion loses its truma status, although it is original tevel and would require tithing. He was challenged that there are two amoraim who forbid this. Rabbi Yochanan said that a young tree with fruit, which was forbidden as orla, which was grafted onto an old permitted tree, even if the fruit grew 200-fold, the requisite amount for orla nullification, they remain forbidden despite the fact that the young tree is considered part of the old tree and its new growths would be permitted if not that they grew from forbidden fruit. Rabbi Yonason said about an onion planted in a vineyard, which is forbidden as kalaim, even after the vineyard was uprooted and the onion grew 200-fold, the onion remains forbidden. Both Amoraim held that the new growth does not nullify the old root, rather the growth itself is forbidden as an extension. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Nun Zayin, and our standard Simmon is a nose, and we often use the Pinocchio puppet to help us remember the Simmon. So here goes. The Pinocchio puppet that had been exchanged for fruit that one had said, "Konum these fruit on me," and was also deemed forbidden, was tossed out and landed on top of an onion that was picked during Shemitah and then replanted in the 8th year, right under an old tree which had a young tree with fruit that was orla grafted onto it. So once again in slow motion, the Pinocchio puppet, Pinocchio, that must be on Daf Nun Zayin, nose. The Pinocchio puppet that had been exchanged for fruit that one had said, "Konum these fruit on me," and was also deemed forbidden, which reminds us, the next mission states, one who says, "Konum perus ha'eu alai, konum hen alpi, konum hen lafi." If one says, "Konum these fruit on me," or "these are konum upon my mouth," or "these are konum to my mouth," asu b'chilufen u'begiduehen, he's forbidden even in their exchanges, meaning goods received in exchange for them, and in their growths, meaning that which grows from them. The Run explains that by specifying an object, it's like Hekdesh, and therefore shares these two properties of Hekdesh. So the Pinocchio puppet that had been exchanged for fruit, the one had said, "Konum these fruit on me," and was also deemed forbidden, was tossed out in Atlanta on top of an onion that was picked during Shemitah, and then replanted in the 8th year, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a question. Batzel she'akar b'shvias, an onion that was picked during Shemitah, giving it Shemitah sanctity, and he then replanted it during the 8th year, and its new growths exceeded its original root. What is the halacha? Do we say, since the growths exceeded the root, Osum gedue heter, malinese iser, or lo, those permitted growths nullify the forbidden root, and the entire plant is permitted, or not? Rather, the growths are themselves forbidden as an extension of their forbidden root. So, the Pinocchio puppet that had been exchanged for fruit, that one had said, "Konum these fruit on me," and was also deemed forbidden, was tossed out and landed on top of an onion that was picked during Shemitah and then replanted in the 8th year, right under an old tree which had a young tree with fruit that was orla grafted onto it, which reminds us, two Amoraim held that new growth does not nullify the old root. Rather, the growth itself is forbidden as an extension. Rabbi Yochanan said that a young tree with fruit, which was forbidden as orla, which was grafted onto an old permitted tree, even if the fruit grew 200-fold, which is the requisite amount for orla nullification, they remain forbidden, despite the fact that the young tree is considered part of the old tree, and its new growths would be permitted if not that they grew from forbidden fruit. So once again, the Pinocchio puppet that had been exchanged for fruit, the one that said, "Konum these fruit on me," and was also deemed forbidden, was tossed out and landed on top of an onion that was picked during Shemitah and then replanted in the 8th year, right under an old tree which had a young tree with fruit that was orla grafted onto it. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazara. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince. That must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince visiting Israel, who didn't eat dates but enjoyed their derivative, date honey, which reminds us we have a three-way machlokas, whether the derivatives from dates, referring to date honey, is prohibited in a neder, and whether the derivative from winter grapes, which is winter grape vinegar, is prohibited in a neder. So, the Nigerian prince visiting Israel, who didn't eat dates but enjoyed their derivative, date honey, was surprised when he was brought olive oil, since in his home country, they used sesame oil, which reminds us, the next mission states that one who vows from wine is permitted in apple wine, and if one vows from oil, he's permitted in sesame oil. After several more examples, the Mishnah presents the reason, Shehushem Levi, because it's an appellative, meaning a specifying term is used to refer to the above items, and they are therefore not included in the unspecified term. A brisa teaches that this can depend on the location of the neder. One who vows from oil in Eretz Yisrael is permitted in sesame oil, but prohibited in olive oil, because they only used olive oil. But a neder in Bavel has the opposite halacha, because they only used sesame oil. So the Nigerian prince visiting Israel, who didn't eat dates, but enjoyed the derivative date honey, was surprised when he was brought olive oil, since in his home country they used sesame oil. And to learn, his tour guide refused the salad made from wild greens, since he had taken a netter from greens during Shemitah. Which reminds us, if one vows from greens in other years of the Shemitah cycle, asir b'yarkos aginu umutar b'yarkos asadah, he's prohibited in garden greens, meaning cultivated greens, and permitted in field greens, meaning wild greens. Because people usually use garden greens during those years, they are referred to as greens during that time. But if he vowed during Shemitah when planting is forbidden, he's forbidden in wild greens and permitted in garden greens, because the wild variety is what is normally eaten during that year. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Simur Daf Nun Dalet is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The noodle chef's agent, noodle chef, that must mean we're in Daf Nun Dalet. The noodle chef's agent, who asked the chef if he meant he should buy gourds when he couldn't find any greens, which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, one who vows from greens, which are vegetables where the leaves are eaten, is permitted in gourds, which are considered fruit of the ground, since the fruit is eaten and not its leaves. But Rabbi Kiva forbids it. The Gemara explains that their malchokas revolves around the issue of an item that a shliach would typically consult with the sender about if it's included or not in the original term. So the noodle chef's agent, who asked the chef if he meant he should buy gourds when he couldn't find any greens, accidentally served a customer liver instead of meat from a hectic animal. Which reminds us, Gemara quotes a mission which states, HaShliach she'asa shlichuso ba'habayis ma'al. A shliach who performed his shlichus, the ba'habayis has committed me'ilah. Me'ilah is an exception to the general rule that one is not chai for never done through a shliach. If he did not perform his assignment, the shliach has committed me'ilah because he has acted on his own. The Mishnah illustrates this principle with a case where the Baal Bais instructed his shliach to give his guests meat, which he didn't realize was hektish meat, and instead the shliach gave them liver, which was hektish, or the reverse. Then the agent is chayav for me'ilah because he didn't carry out his instructions. So the noodle chef's agent, who asked the chef if he meant he should buy gourds when he couldn't find any greens, accidentally served a customer liver instead of meat from a hektish animal. So to make amends, he prepared a bowl of noodles with well-boiled fowl for the chef, who had just returned from a bloodletting procedure, which reminds us. The Gemara quotes a brisa in which the Tanakhama said that one who vows from meat is forbidden in fowl, but permitted in fish. Abai explained that this is a case where he let blood before vowing, because he wouldn't eat fish anyway in such a condition, since it's harmful, so he didn't intend to prohibit it by a netter. The Gemara objects by providing three sources that eating fowl is also harmful after bloodletting, so his netter should include neither fish nor fowl. The Gemara answers that fowl, when boiled well, is not harmful after bloodletting. Daf Nun Hey. So the Simur Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. The cop who pulled over a Talmud for going over the 55 mile per hour limit, 55 miles per hour? That must mean we're in Daf Nun Hey. The cop who pulled over a Talmud for going above the 55 mile per hour limit because he was in a rush to ask his Rebbe whether rental property is included in Al Alta, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what is included in a netter from Dagon and Tfua, and whether the word Al Alta, which means profit or gain, includes rental profits. So the cop who pulled over a Talmud for going above the 55 mile per hour limit because he was in a rush to ask his Rebbe whether rental property is included in Al Alta, ordered the Talmud to explain the Pasuk Umimidbar Matana, which reminds us Rav Yosef made Rava expound the Pasuk Umimidbar Matana to encourage Rava to humble himself. And Rava darshaned, if a person makes himself Kemidbar Shehu Mufkar Lekol, like a desert which is open to all to teach Torah, then the Torah is given to him as a Matana, a gift. So the cop who pulled over a Talmud for going above the 55 mile per hour limit because he was in a rush to ask his Rebbe whether rental property is included in Al Alta, ordered the Talmud to explain the Pasuk Umimidbar Matana, and then, realizing that his wool uniform was tight, said, "Konum from wool, from coming on to me." Which reminds Rav Yudah says regarding making a netter from wool or flax, a kolafia noder, everything depends on the valor, meaning the context in which the netter was made. A brisa illustrates Rav Yudah's opinion. If he was wearing a woolen garment and was uncomfortable, And the Ran explains it was too small, and he vowed from wool, coming on me, he is forbidden in woolen clothing, but permitted to carry it. But if he was carrying flax and perspiring and vowed from flax, coming on me, he is permitted to wear flax and forbidden to carry it. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is a shusher in shul going, nu nu, nu nu. The shusher in shul, that must be on Daf Nun Vav, nu nu. The shusher in shul who lived in an upper story because he was sold a house within a house, which reminds us of a machlokes of Miran the Chachamim, whether one who makes a neder from a house includes the aliyah, the upper story. And Ula says if a seller says, I'm selling you bais bebesi, a house in my house, he may show him the upper story, meaning he can later claim that the inferior upper story is the sole property since the burden of proof is on the buyer attempting to take possession. So, the shusher in shul who lived in an upper story because he was sold a house within a house, stood on his dargash, which was next to his bed, right by the window, which reminds me of Machlokes, whether one who makes a neder on his bed includes a dargash, which is determined to be a bed made of a leather sheet that is tied onto the bed frame with loops. So the shusher in shul who lived in an upper story because he was sold a house within a house, stood on his dargash, which is next to his bed, right by the window, to loudly shush the man who had taken a vow from the city that he was speaking too loudly while wrongly standing in its 70 2/3 amos extension, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hanoda mina'ir mutu lakanas l'tchuma shal'ir v'asli kanas li'ibura. One who vows from a city is permitted in its tchum of 2,000 amos, but is forbidden in its 70 2/3 amos extension because the extension is considered a part of the city. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.